Standing for the reading of God's Word. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, and we pick up at verse 15. Again, it's on page 1005 in the Pew Bible. So it was when the angels had gone away from them, from the shepherds, into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon this morning, title is Seek Out the Glory. Seek Out the Glory. Or another title, if you will, Glory, Peace, and Goodwill. Glory, Peace, and Goodwill. And so this morning I want to invite you, issue an invitation to join in praising God. Join in praising God. Because in heaven, there is a continual activity of praising God, where God dwells continually, day and night. They say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Blessing, honor, glory, praises be unto him, the one who was and is to come. Blessing to him and to the Lamb that was slain." Amen. And so this is an invitation for us to join in the praises of God. And Jesus came into our world to fit us for the world to come. Let me say that again. Jesus came into our world to fit us for the world to come. And this is such an amazing and astounding, a marvelous thing. And the angels could not contain themselves in heaven. They had to break forth into time and space. And so there was one angel at first, the angel proclaiming good news, which is fitting because angels are messengers. They're messengers. They're God's messengers, God's servants that he sends to serve those who will inherit salvation. And so if you ever find yourself in a bind, you can ask God to send angels to help you. Amen? Because God hears the cries of his children that are adopted by faith in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Here in our passage, we see the angels praising God. It says in verse 13, "Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased.'" And so they're praising God for the fullness of his redemption. What awesome thing that God has sent forth his only begotten Son into the world to be a redeemer of his people. Now, God doesn't do things for nothing. He doesn't waste anything. And if there was a way for us to be made righteous before God without his sending his Son to the cross to die for our sins, he would have done it. And the Bible is very clear. If righteousness comes by the works of the law, then Christ died needlessly. So it was very needful that he sent his Son into the world to save us, to rescue us from our sins. And so the angels praise God for three things. They praise God for his glory, for his peace, and his goodwill toward men. And you know what? That shows our need. You see, we coming into the world as sinners, we have a glory problem, we have a peace problem, and we have a will problem. We have a glory problem, a peace problem, and a will problem. And to just roll that into one word, it's called sin. We have a sin problem. But God supplies for our every need. He provides a way to deal with each problem. Our glory problem. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Why are the angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest? What is glory? Well, glory is that which has great value, honor, weightiness, goodness, brightness, moral perfection. Really speaking of who God is in his very character. And because we sin, we fall short of who God is in his character. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. They show us how we fall short of who God is and what he calls us to be. So we fall short of God's glory, and then we exchange glory, right? Doesn't Romans 1 talk about how we exchange the glory of the Creator for what's created, and then we worship created things? And Christmas time is a time where we have to be careful, because it's very easy to worship stuff, things, the stuff under the tree, as it were. Now, God, our Father, is a good God and a good Heavenly Father. And every good and blessed gift comes from the Father of lights. If you have anything good, it's because God has given it to you. Amen. Amen. And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the greatest gift of all. God gave what was so precious to him, his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, take possession of, and would take possession of him, eternal life. Do you have eternal life? If you have the Son, John tells us, then you have eternal life. Amen. Amen. What a great gift God has given us. We fall short of God's glory. We exchange God's glory, and then we steal glory. Are you a glory thief? Don't be a glory thief. What's a glory thief? I'm so wonderful. Look at me. I'm so great. We're stealing God's glory. If there's anything good about what I'm doing, it's because God has given it. Amen? God wants us not to fall short of his glory, not to steal his glory, not to exchange his glory, but to share his glory. We were talking about adoption in Sunday school this morning. It was a blessed time. remembering the blessing that God has given that we, even we, are called sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that even we should be called sons and daughters of God. What a blessing to be God's adopted children. But there's something even greater than that, and that's glory. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And so the thought continues there. I'll read 1 John 3, 1 again. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. So look around you. Doesn't yet appear what we shall be. So if you're having trouble with a brother or sister, just remember, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, that is when Jesus appears, when he comes to take us home with him forever in heaven, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. Amen. So when we see him in his glory, we will be made like him in glory. He shares his glory with his people. That's the doctrine of glorification. And so those are a few things that I want to encourage our Bible students, Bible disciples, really, to study out. What does it mean to be adopted by God the Father? What does it mean to be glorified? These are the blessings that God has given his children. Amen. So God shares his glory. He deals with our glory problem and puts us in a way where we, instead of stealing God's glory or falling short of God's glory or exchanging God's glory, we live for the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you to live for the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Amen. We have a peace problem. What is our peace problem? Our peace problem is that we are born rebels at war with God. And the Bible says, the way of peace we have not known. And there's no peace for the wicked. And so if you don't really know the Prince of Peace, then you're not going to have peace. But if you do truly know the Prince of Peace, you will have peace, and you will be a peacemaker. Amen? And so we need to be all about reconciliation. Our reconciliation starts vertically and then goes horizontally. What do I mean? We need to be reconciled with God. And we need to urge people to be reconciled with God. I urge you, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, be reconciled with God. What are God's terms? Believe on my Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Amen? That's God's terms of peace with God. Seek peace and pursue it. And so if you're right with God, then you want to be right with your brothers and sisters as well. That's the horizontal peace. Is there peace in your house? If your eyes are on Jesus, there will be peace in your house. If your eyes are on yourself and what you can get out of those under your roof, then there's going to be no peace. And so I urge you to fix your eyes on Jesus and to get in his word together and pray together. If you pray with someone on a regular basis, it's very hard to continue in an unpeaceful manner. So maybe prayer and being in the word together is a good place to start to put things back together in those households. Amen? Amen. Lord, give us grace to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Amen. Peace. How does that peace begin? Well, I like the ABCs of peace. A, acknowledge you're a sinner, deserving hell because you've fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe in Jesus the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice to take away sin. And then C, call on him. Call on Jesus to save you. Say, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And if you pray sincerely, he'll answer and he'll save you. Because all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God, and God doesn't lie, and God always keeps his promises. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord deals with our peace problem. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Amen. And then lastly, we have a will problem. A will problem. We come into the world bent on doing our own thing. Doing our own will. It's my way or the highway. But God says, no, you need to do my will. And Jesus came into the world to do the will of the one who sent him. Our problem is we seek the favor of men and not the favor of God. And again, I need to tell us, it's not enough to know the right thing and not do it. It's interesting. Years ago, my daughter said, I thought being a disciple was just about learning more things. Just keep learning more things about God, and that's it about being a disciple. And she said, but then I realized that, no, it's about obedience. It's about following God's will. And so you see Jesus in that light as he considers going to the cross and he's praying and wrestling before God in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking about what it would be like to be separated from his Father because of our sin on him. And he says, Father, if you are willing, please let this cup of suffering, this cup of alienation, pass from me. But then he follows and says, yet not my will, but your will be done. And so that's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is it that we who tend towards sin, how can we do God's will? Well, God is able to change us. He's able to change our will if we submit to him, if we call on him and say, Lord, help me to do your will. And we submit to him and trust him. He will do that. He will enable us. And so Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his own pleasure. How can you do God's will? Well, as you trust him to work in you. He is able. He is able to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Do you believe it? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And so the angel comes and proclaims the gospel to those shepherds. He says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." When we proclaim the good news, let's make sure that we're proclaiming a good news that has joy. I hope we're not proclaiming, become a Christian and be morose and downcast and miserable like me. No, we have a gospel of great joy. Amen? Why? Why is it great joy? Because today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. Does anybody need a Savior? Does anybody need a rescuer? God has sent you a rescuer who is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. If you've ever had a Messiah complex, you don't need to. There already is a Messiah, and that's Jesus. He comes on the scene to rescue his people from sin, misery, and death. And that's why we just sang, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come." And so, of all people, we ought to be the most joyful. Of all people, we ought to be those who sing, because we have good news of mega joy. Mega joy. Amen? Amen. And so live for the will of God. Live for the favor of God. That's another aspect of that word. So it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," or goodwill towards those with whom God shows his favor. And he has shown favor to us, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. Has God granted you favor in Jesus Christ? Then give him the glory. Glory, peace, and goodwill. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful, thankful that you have set us in the right way. And so we do pray that we would join in praising you for sharing with us your glory, giving us your peace, which surpasses all understanding, and then extending your goodwill toward us, to will and to work in us for your own good pleasure. And so, Lord, we pray that we would live for your glory, that we would live in peace with you and our neighbor, and that we would live out the will of God in our lives, all for your glory and for your praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.